ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 3rd chapter, text 25 to 27. 25 has no purport, so, but we also read. Uttaya pranchali prava ikshamanu trishavipum hash ashru pula kopeto kira katay Kira Katka Dayakrinath. Then getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the Daityas was overwhelmed by jubilation. With tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering, he began praying in a humble mood, with folded hands and a faltering voice to satisfy Lord Brahma. Text 26-27. Sri Hiranyakashipu Ravacha Kalpante Kalo Srishtena Yondena Tamasavritam Abhivyanga Abhivyanak Chagat Idam Svayan Jyoti Svarochisha. Why number two? But this is number 27. Before this 26, that's the first one. Atmana trivrita chedam Srichat avati lumpati Rajasattva tamo damne Paraya mahate namaha. Atmana trivita cetam Sichat yavyati lapi lapti Achasatva tamo tamne Mate namaha. Atmana trivita cetam Atmana, by himself, Trivrita, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Cha, also, Idam, this material world, Srichati, creates, Avati, maintains, Lumpati, annihilates, Raja, of the mode of passion, sattva, the mode of goodness, tama, and the mode of ignorance, damne, unto the Supreme Lord, paraya, unto the Supreme, mahate, unto the great, nama, by respectful obeisance, my respectful obeisances. Hiranyakashipu offers his prayers to Brahma. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time. Yeah, it's a little too much echo on it. By the influence of time, and then again during his next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy, which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. Purport. The words Abhivyanag Jagatidam refers to he who creates his cosmic manifestation. The original creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Jamadhyasa Yata, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. When Lord Brahma is empowered by Lord Krishna as the engineer to create a phenomenal world, he becomes the supremely powerful feature within this universe. The total material energy is created by Krishna and later taking advantage of all that has necessarily been created, Lord Brahma engineers the entire phenomenal universe. At the end of Lord Brahma's day, everything up to Svargaloka is inundated with water. And the next morning, when there is darkness in the universe, Brahma again brings the phenomenal manifestation into existence. Therefore, he is described here as he who manifests this universe. Trigunan Prinoti. Lord Brahma takes advantage of the three modes of material nature, Prakriti. Material nature is described here as Trivrita, the source of the three material modes. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this connection that Trivrita means Prakritya. Thus, Lord Krishna is the original creator and Lord Brahma is the original engineer. So again, the verse, or verses, three verses. Then getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the Daityas was overwhelmed by jubilation. With tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering, he began praying in a humble mood with folded hands and a faltering voice to satisfy Lord Brahma. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time, and then again during his next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy, which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. Omakyati maranyasya gananchana salakyam chakshurunmilitam yena tasma shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandesi Krishna Chaitanya Nitananda Sahoditao Gaudadai Pushpavanto Chitta Sando Tamonado. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandha Chagapate Gopisha Gopika Kantara Adakanta Namostate. Vancha kalpa trubhya sa kripa sindha bheva cha patitanam pamanebhya vaishnevibhya namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Brahma, Hiranyakashipu, as we heard, he was very angry because of Lord Vishnu killed his dear brother, younger brother, Hiranyaksha. So he was very angry. And he was sworn to his brother and to his family members who were all lamenting about the death of their dear relative, brother, son, and whatever, that he will take all means to kill that lord who killed our dear relative, Hiranyaksha. So that he was swearing for that he will take all means, all whatever is in his power, and to kill that lord, we have to first kill that what is very dear to him. What is very dear to that lord Vishnu? It is a Brahminical culture. So Brahma, he wanted to destroy Brahminical culture. He wanted to stop Yajna for pleasure of Indra, who was the head of Svargaloka and demigods there. So I'm stopping all these Yajnas, the Devas, and the cow protection, Brahminical culture, everything will become very weak. And if there is no Yajna offered anymore to the demigods, then Vishnu will automatically not get nourished, he will not be pleased, he will become very frustrated, and then very easily is actually out of vision. Easily can kill him, not even by killing him, just by destroying Brahminical culture. And anyway, this Lord Vishnu is not worth to fight, because I was looking over him, all over where he is. I could not find him anywhere. And so I understood he's such a coward that he hided himself. He made himself invisible. Of course, the Lord is hided in the heart of everyone as the Supersoul, Antaryami. So he's not visible for the gross materialist. Only a yogi, one who performs a mystical yoga process or bhakti, can realize and get the darshan of the Lord in the heart. Materialistic persons who are overwhelmed too much by tamas and rajas have not an opportunity to see the Lord in the heart. Because for that we need sattva and we need qualification, peaceful mind. But Hiranyakashipu's mind was full of anger. But he understood to conquer the universe, the demigods and everything, ultimately also Brahma, I have to perform tapasya. So it's mentioned here that he performed tapasya for a very long, long time. He stopped ultimately sleeping, eating, drinking, even breathing in the end. Only with the internal air he maintained his body. So his body
became a skeleton, practically a skeleton covered by ant hill. He only stayed on one leg, like that, praying that he will get the power from the Lord of the universe. He considered the Lord of the universe Brahma. As Prabhupada is pointing out, Brahma is the secondary creator. So as such, it's not wrong to call him creator. So he's the creator. And some who have not a transcendental vision and who have no knowledge or awareness about Vishnu, Natevitu Svarta Katim Hi Vishnu, they consider a demigod like Brahma or Indra or Shiva or even Durga or Kali as the supreme, because they're all Ishvara. They're all masters, they're all have a lot of powers. They're especially empowered by Lord Vishnu and by the Purusha especially, who became manifested as the universal form, Virat Rupa. The Virat Purusha is a manifestation of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. When he created this one universe, all the universes became manifested by Mahavishnu. Karana Dakshay Vishnu. He's lying in the Karana ocean, or the ocean of the causal ocean. From there a cloud appeared. That's the Mahatattva. It's somewhere in the corner of the material creation. It's a Mahatattva. And from that Mahatattva Mahatattva means all the ingredients of the material nature are there. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mind, intelligence. 24 elements are there. All the elements of Sankhya are in the Mahatattva, in the Mahat. This Mahat is like a cloud. It has all the ingredients for a proper manifestation of universe. So this original energy, it's called Svarga. It means the first creation coming from Mahavishnu. It's called Svarga. It's all the material energy is there. But the material energy cannot work. All these elements cannot combine, or they cannot work. They cannot embody themselves or manifest themselves without that the Lord is glancing over them. So therefore, only when the Lord is glancing over the Mahatattva, the material elements start to manifest. It's like when there is a cloud, it needs a thunderbolt who strikes it so that a water drop falls down. In the Mahatattva, it's actually mostly in the mode of Sattva Guna. And little Rajas, and practically no Tamas. Although the modes of nature are there, but because there is no action and reaction in the Mahatattva, nothing happens. Only when the Lord is glancing over it, it is Vishnu Maya, it is energy of Maya. Then the material universe, who is in the beginning avyakta, becomes vyakta, becomes manifested, becomes prakriti. From pradhana becomes prakriti. And then prakriti means the material nature. And to manifest the material nature, the Lord, from Mahavishnu, expands himself as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. So the antaryami of the Garbhodakshay Vishnu is Mahavishnu. And the antaryami of Kshiradakshay Vishnu, the Supersoul, is Garbhodakshay Vishnu. So one Purusha comes from another Purusha, and the original Purusham is Govinda. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Actually, Krishna Balaram, Vasudev and Sankarshan, they are the original Purushas. From them everything becomes manifested. Lord Krishna or Vasudev doesn't have to directly involve in the creation. He doesn't have to do hard work. For that he has so many expansions. And the first expansion is Balaram, Sankarshan. And from that the Purushas become manifested. He's the supreme servitor of Godhead. Not different from Krishna, but always serving him in so many different ways to manifest the universe. So, from Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he manifests through the universal form this universe with the 14 worlds, with the 14 systems, seven higher and seven lowers. And the top of that is Satyaloka, the bottom is Patalaloka, the middle is Bhumiloka, or Mahiloka. Mahi means the earth region. And the earth region is Martyaloka. Everything is very temporary here, very flickering. Death, birth and death is taking place constantly. And Hiranyakashipu, he was on earth. Although it was in Satya Yuga, life was longer than in Kali Yuga. But still, he wanted to become immortal. He wanted to become Amara. And to become Amara, he thought, I don't want to worship this Vishnu because he's my enemy. And I don't consider him ultimately Amara, because where is he now? He's dissolved. He's not existing anymore. So I worship Brahma as the supreme. And who is actually this Brahma? Brahma is a manifestation of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He took birth from the lotus flower, manifesting from navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So, lotus. Actually, this lotus is Hiranyagarbha. This is the subtle form of the Lord, from whom actually everything first became manifest, the Sarga. Therefore, there is an Hiranyagarbha Brahma and there is a Vairaja Brahma, according to Laku Bhagavatamrita and Bhagavatam. The two features of Brahma. One is subtle and the one is gross. One is actually practically Lord Vishnu himself, and the second one is a demigod Brahma, who has a gross form, more or less gross, not as gross as our bodies. He's more subtle, but still made of the material nature. So there's this Brahma, who became the architect. He became the architect of the universe. And like an architect, he cannot do any building without having ingredients. So the ingredients of the creation of Brahma is coming from Garbhadakshay Vishnu, from the Lord himself, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gave all the ingredients to create this fantastic universe. And from the ignorant point of view, it seems to be that that Brahma is the creator. And therefore, many worship a certain demigod like Brahma or Indra or a Devi like Durga, considering them supreme, to get benediction of them. Srila Prabhupada, or in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 23 and 24, the Krishna says that the demigod worshippers, they actually, in true, worshipping him, but they don't do it in the proper way. And because they don't do it in the proper way, and don't give the results or the sacrificial offerings and their mind with devotion to the Lord, and worship the demigod separately of the Lord, the Purusha, Mahapurusha, therefore they fall down. They become degraded. They have to take birth again and again in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot come free. They cannot become immortal. So, but Hiranyakashipu, he decided to worship Brahma because he considered him almost immortal, because he had a very long life, and he lives for so long time, you know, where no one else can live. So he considered, I worship him, I meditate about him, I perform my tapasya for him, and because if one performs tapasya for a certain demigod, then that demigod is practically forced to appear, to give blessing. So the demigod came to give Brahma came on his swan carrier on Hamsa. So he came to give this blessing. The body of Hiranyakashipu was completely on his skeleton, as we heard already. So there was no possibility to have full strength. The strength was fully there, concentrated like a fire inside. So, but because Brahma sprinkled him with this kamandalu, with saintly water, sanctified water, Hiranyakashipu's body became completely rejuvenated. He became very, very strong. And powerful, very, very powerful. So he became very happy. He was very happy to get the darshan and this blessing of Brahma. And it is described here in this verse that he was so great in ecstasy, overpowered by ecstasy, that his body started to shiver. Ecstatic symptoms became manifested, like some Prema Bhakta or Bhava, on the stage of Bhava, manifest some ecstatic symptoms, Asta Sattvika Bhavas. So Brahma, he got a reflection of these Bhavas in the shadow form, where he started to shiver and the hair standing on end. But he did it in relation with Brahma, not in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this is considered the shadow reflection of the bhavas in relation to Krishna in Bhakti Yoga. All these emotional ecstasies are experienced in this world, in the material body, by the mind, by the feeling. Hairs can stand sometimes. One starts to cry. One starts to laugh. Bodily hair standing. Shivering appears. Because of ecstatic symptoms of material bliss. But these material ecstatic symptoms they actually have their origin in bhakti, in pure bhakti, in bhava and prema bhakti, in relation to Krishna, in devotional service. So that they can manifest in the material world, in any living entity, in a perverted, reflected form, in a shadow form. But this kind of ecstasy is not changing the heart. It doesn't make the heart soft. It still remains hard, like a boulder, like a mountain, or like a stone, and even steel frame, Bhagavatam says. Bhagavatam says, if one chants the holy name of the Lord, but the heart is not melting. The heart is not becoming soft. One has to understand it is a steel framed heart. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains it in connection with this verse of the Bhagavatam from 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, text 24, I think. It was spoken by Shaunaka Rishi about materialistic conceptions of materialists who don't like to worship Krishna, who don't want to engage in bhakti yoga. There this verse is stated that even if one chants the holy name but the heart is not melting, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, even though ecstatic symptoms may manifest, like hair standing on the body, shivering, laughing, crying, it's not a symptom of real bhakti. They can also be imitated. They can be artificial. The real symptom of bhava bhakti is it makes the heart soft. It makes the heart soft. That means the heart is becomes completely soft and mellow. It becomes merciful. It becomes very kind. Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, it is also stated that in Brahmaloka, when the yogi attains Brahmaloka, going through all the universal places, also attaining Mahaloka and Janaloka, Tapaloka, and then ultimately Satyaloka. So if he stays in some places like Janaloka and Tapaloka for some time, because he likes it. Because it's full of mystical yogis there, who have so many cities. So the yogi likes it very much to stay in that places. Although he has a mixture of bhakti, he has some inclination for bhakti, but he still wants to see the universe. He wants to experience the cities in this Tapaloka and Janaloka system. But then suddenly, at one time, from underneath, the fire is coming. From Ananta Shesha's mouth, universal destruction, the three worlds become destroyed. Sometimes it's also inundation in the day of Brahma, and ultimately in the end of life of Brahma, a whole fire is manifesting from Anantashesh, from underneath, from Patalaloka, and all the three worlds are destroyed. Only Brahma Loka not. Because therefore all the Siddha yogis, they go from Tapaloka, Janaloka, because it's too much heat or destruction. They go to Satyaloka and stay with Brahma. And the Bhagavatam says, from there they can decide either go further into to merge with Vishnu in his transcendental body, who is very effulgent, and it's Ananda Maya Purusha. So that they can merge and experience their Ananda Maya there in that as part and parcel of that body of Mahavishnu. And from there, it's Bhagavatam says, they will not take birth anymore, they're liberated. And those yogis who want to remain with Brahma, they stay with Brahma until the end of life of Brahma. Again, when Brahma starts to sleep, goes to sleep, they enter in his body, and the next day of Brahma, and Brahma again has to remember about his identification and duty, so he must manifest the universe, and all these yogis who entered in his body, who stayed with Brahma in Brahma Loka, they take birth again with Brahma. And in the end of life, they go with Brahma to the spiritual world. So a yogi cannot experience also fully these ecstatic symptoms of bhava, where the heart is melting, because he is too much has influence of jnana or some desires. There's still desire. As long as a yogi or even as a devotee, we cultivate desire on our own, for our own sense gratification in one way or another, subtle or gross. Heart is not melting. The heart remains steel framed, very hard. The heart only will become melted or soft by association with devotees who are engaged in the pure devotional service without motivation, vichuda bhakta. But the devotee who has no hankering, no karma, no jnana, no mystic yoga perfections. But this is very rare. Because in everyone in this material world, we have desires. We have desire for something. Either we have desire for enjoyment, or we have desire for control, or for attaining knowledge, become educated, famous, or we have a desire for liberation. This is also a desire. So either you have a desire for liberation or a desire for enjoying your senses. Both is actually desire. Or see these mystical perfections. Even the materialists, they try to achieve siddhis in a gross way, not in a yogic way. Because they want to enjoy nice facility, like these electrical things that we have nowadays, computers and whatever, all these devices. It's for me and for many, I think, this is like siddhi. It's mystical, almost. But it's still gross. Actually, it doesn't come from above, comes from underneath. From magic powers, who have also kind of cities, but in a very gross way. But the devotee has no interest in any kind of city, not in tamaguna city, not in rajaguna city, not even in sattvaguna city. He only likes to serve Krishna, like Lord Chaitanya is praying, without any desire for nice women, nice family, nadanam, money, opulences, nadanam, nachanam, nasundarim, kavitam, vachakadisha kamaye. Not for all of this, his desires. He only desires chanmani chamanishvare, babata bhakti rahaita kitvayi. Devotional service to the Lord, lotus feet, life after life. So in Brahma Loka, those who live in Brahma, they're actually very pure. We cannot attain Brahma Loka without becoming very purified after many lifetimes of strict sadhana and work of karma activities, pious activities. Therefore, the Brahmaloka people, they become very, they're very pious, very, they practically have no death, not only Brahma, also those who live there, they have no experiencing of death, no fear, no diseases, no frustration, they have actually no problem. Only problem is, one problem, Bhagavatam says, this anxiety for the people underneath Brahmaloka, especially Martyaloka, who always have to go through the cycle of birth and death, and therefore they have to suffer, they suffer so much because of their desire to enjoy and overlording the material nature. They want to be Ishvara. They want to become a demigod or a Brahma or even God himself, Ishvara. I have all Ishvara. We all have Ishvara complex, more or less. Therefore we always want to remain in this material world as long as possible, so that we are able to enjoy as much as we can and control and enjoy. Even Brahma has this mood, to enjoy and to control. There's the enjoyer feature of Brahma, who enjoys the sacrifices, and there's the creator Brahma, who works very hard, tries to control. So that's what these two things is, what is existing in this material world is, attempt for bhoga, or enjoyment, and the attempt for jnana, knowledge, that, so that we can become controllers. Therefore, jnana is actually a very powerful weapon. Because why people go so much into jnana, into education? Why? Because very clear, I want to be controller. Karmis, the fruitive workers, they work like asses, you know. They actually, one has to lament about them. Therefore, even the jnanis, they consider themselves superior to the ass-like workers who only work in karma to get some temporary benefit, carrying hard loads like an ass on the shoulders. They have compassion with them. Not real compassion, not motiveless. They want to exploit actually also. They want, with higher intelligence, with materialistic intelligence. And therefore they go so much into jnana. And yoga, mystical yoga, is a product of jnana. It's not pure bhakti. Mystical yoga is not emanating, it's not a manifestation of bhakti. Bhakti is causeless and it's only created by bhakti alone. And who has bhakti? The bhakta, the devotee. So now we can understand, with anyone we associate, if he is not bhakta, 100% dedicated towards the Lord's lotus feet, only worshipping him, with a soft and devoted heart, or those who are following such devotees, even not pure, but you are following, that's perfect. It's only a question of time, the heart will become melt, will start to change. But if after many, many times we do devotional service or do any kind of bhakti anga, from hearing, chanting, remembering and so on, and serving and puja and so on, but we actually still maintaining some desires for either enjoyment in gross or in subtle way, or in jnana, for some controlling, controlling or managing something, then we have to stay in this material world. We have to stay, heart will not melt. And therefore Prabhupada, in the end of the third chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, if somebody still maintains hardness, heart is not softened, although practicing very much this process, hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna, is a steel-framed heart. And if after many, many years, still is not softened, He practically becomes a hopeless character. And Prabhupada recommends for those who are still attached to and not pure still, we should not go over the second canto and read further. Because the more further we go, the more the purification process or this knowledge of Bhagavatam and the influence of Bhagavatam becomes stronger. But if we have no tendency to receive it, if we are not receptacles of this mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam, then although we go on reading, 10 canto and so on, still no heart is melting, no change, still stays hard. So that's our problem. We actually still not feel this love and this change of the heart, this softness, because we still maintain more or less some karma desires for enjoyment or for controlling and becoming attached to knowledge and to the process of knowledge and to attain certain siddhis, certain powers, not for the service of Krishna, but for our own name, fame and adoration. And Krishna maybe give us this, but he's keeping away the bhakti, because the pure bhakti only is available for those who are only motiveless, desireless for anything else than just to please the Lord. You should not have an expectation for love to Krishna or bhava or prema. You should only try to become somehow or other the servant of the pure devotees who have no material desires. Serve them and follow their instructions, following their ways of life, and then that will actually lead to perfection. And that it's the only what actually satisfies the heart. In Hiranyakashipu, although he had ecstatic symptoms, he got darshan of Brahma. Later on we will see, he lost everything. He became, although he had a nice son, Prahlad, he could not change, he could not understand anything. Atirna Krishna Parataksa Tova Midobi Badyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. So he went on chewing the chewed. No interest for Krishna, only interest, Matir, is our, my interest, my power, my profit, my adoration. And this is our great weakness of the conditioned soul, of all conditioned souls in this material creation. Nobody is exempted. Only the liberated Shakti Avesh or devotees who are coming from the spiritual world to help us, who are descending out of their compassion, only they have pure motivation, pure desire, not for their own, but for the helping others. And these devotees, they are not different from Krishna, they are even more merciful than Krishna, because Krishna and the devotees will never bestow material benedictions. Therefore the karmis and the jnanis are not interested to worship Krishna and the devotees, because they have not the desire for pure bhakti. And even if they worship Krishna devotees with their material desires, Krishna will not give it. Because Krishna is not cheap. It's not his function. He's not interested in these kind of blessings. And if a devotee, Chaitanya Charitamrita and also Bhagavatam says, if a devotee who is engaged in devotional service again and again comes to Krishna with a material desire, then Krishna thinks, I'm not a murkha, I'm not a fool, This, like this fool here, is coming to me for material benefit. I don't want to give him. I maybe give him sometimes a little, but then ultimately if he comes again and again and again with the same desires or more desires, then Krishna thinks, I'm not fool, I'm merciful, I'm compassionate, I'm Krishna, I'm able to give him prema, bhakti, but he wants to get poison. I can give him amrit, so I will make his life miserable, so that ultimately he will come to me. He will have a desire, the burning desire or greed to come to me, to surrender unto me. This is Krishna's great mercy. Therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, if a devotee, by every sunrise and sunset, the lifespan of the embodied beings is shortened. And therefore we should engage in devotional service, chanting and remembering, and hearing about Krishna, and serving him all the time, using the time. Because this sunrise and sunset diminishes our life, so we should use this time to engage in the pure devotional service, not wasting our time for any moment. We should try to fully use every time in our day to for engaging in the service of the devotees, in the service of the spiritual master. And in this way, gradually, the greatest benefit will be attained. And that's actually the mission of the human form of life, to attain the greatest benefit. But it's very rarely attained. Krishna bhakti, love to Krishna, and devotional service. If we don't use this opportunity, although we have it, then we consider kripana. It's unfortunate. So we should try in a humble way to, although it sometimes it looks hopeless, and if we look in the heart or in our, but if we hear what Bhagavatam and scriptures explain, what Guru says, but still we have to go on in a humble way, so that and cry for the mercy and for devotional service, and always going on in any circumstances, try to improve it in better and better way. Although we cannot improve it on our own, that's also stated in the Bhagavatam, we cannot liberate and attain love to Krishna on our own. We can only make ourselves receptacle of this mercy, become purified, and develop the pure mood of the devotees, the Bhagavata devotees, and try to follow in humble way in their footsteps. Hare Krishna. I'm stopping here. Yes, Prabhupada. Maybe any question or comment?
Bliss.
You have to speak slowly.
Material bliss you mentioned.
Material?
Bliss.
Place.
What is it, Prabhupada? I don't know about it.
Material place?
Yes.
Material bliss.
Happiness. Material happiness.
Bliss.
Material happiness.
You mentioned bliss.
Material bliss.
One and the same thing.
Yeah, the same. Material happiness, material bliss means, you know, money, Prahlad Maharaj says, honey is sweeter than honey. People who earn a lot of money, they become very blissful, very ecstatic. If you have a new mobile phone, the latest one, you feel very blissful, very successful. If you have a nice car, nice house, nice family, this gives you a lot of, for a bodily attached person, gives you a lot of bliss. Even for us devotees, we feel sometimes, oh, this is very nice. Not? Nice dress, nice car, nice electronics, nice food, nice bed. But this is, in one sense, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is necessary. I understand what you have in mind. It is necessary to have this bliss. Because if you don't have the bliss in Krishna, somehow or other we have to enjoy. We cannot be like a stone, blissless, without happiness. Then the soul will dry out. We have no meaning of existence. There's no purpose of existence. Because the nature of the soul is to be blissful, ananda maya vyasad. We are seeking after that, although we cannot produce it ourselves. Because this ananda only comes in relation to Krishna, or then in relation to material energy, who is a perverted reflection of Krishna, and then we take shelter in the shadow energy of Krishna, and take this as bliss. But in this way we cheat ourselves. But in true sense we cannot be without bliss, without happiness. So either in the material or in the spiritual way. The soul is hankering after happiness and bliss. And that is not bad. That everyone needs. Therefore we have Varnasham Dharma. We have systems, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of Varna and Ashramas, and especially the Grihastas, or also in the Varnas, they have this opportunity to, get facility and some enjoyment on the material level. But not too much, because if you go too much into become dependent on this external energy, maya, or material facility, then we become attached to it, and then it becomes a handicap, or keeping us back in further making further advancement to Krishna, right? Drags us down, drags us away from the surrendering to Krishna. And therefore we have to also be careful not to pray to Krishna in a premature way, please take away everything, unless you are not already attached to something higher in bhakti. Because if Krishna takes everything away, if he would, but don't be afraid, he will not do it, because he knows what is in your heart, he knows your desires, he knows that you are not ready now. You may be frustrated and you may be wondering, why Krishna is not taking away. Because you are still not fixed on the next level of bhakti. Why Krishna should take it away, then you are completely miserable.
So we just said the nature of the soul is to be blissful. And we find bliss in things like mobile phone, etc. So
these
things are permanent, not permanent.
It's
so
not,
how can we find permanent bliss in
them? It's not the ananda of the spiritual world, this bliss. This bliss is a material bliss. Material happiness. The bliss is because this bliss of Brahman is perverted, reflected in the material world. The Maya, who is supplying you this kind of pleasure and happiness, is Krishna's energy. Therefore, it also seems to be real. It's real because it's not false. It's temporary, but it is real. And Maya, she has the job to keep us in this material world. He cannot come out of this material. We think I can come out of material world by sadhana, by qualification. But ultimately, we can only come out of the material world by kripa, by mercy of Krishna and his internal energy, bhakti. Then prakriti, or how say, maya, will release you. She will release you from prison. As long Durga or Maya is not releasing you from prison, you can try to escape. No way to come out on our own endeavor, because we are too weak. But if you surrender to Krishna, to Krishna's devotees, to Krishna's Shastra's instruction, in a humble way, then we can... the impossible will happen. Okay, there's another question, or? Because it's not unending, your questions. It's already clear. Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, glorious Prabhupada. Grantaraj Sima Bhagatam Ki Jai.